Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 18. Propositions proclaimed as new covenant, but which, in reality, are based on the motivations of the old covenant. Topic E. The motivation for traditions, cultures, familiar things, or collectivities. Similarly to the previous topic, yet another more specific point in terms of which many seek to associate the new covenant with parts similar to those of the first priesthood, refers to the inappropriate attachment to traditions, cultures, things that are familiar to them, or things that have been transferred to them. Looking at the matter of the desire for fame or glory before others and the world from yet another angle, we may see that one of the points by which some people wanted Christ in the days when the Lord Jesus was in the flesh in the world but were not willing to follow him indeed, was the fact that they were not willing to face the break with what the first priesthood had introduced into the life of the societies in which they were inserted, according to the text repeated below. John 12:42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And here too, there is another aspect that is very characteristic of life propositions similar to what the first priesthood or the old covenant proposes. Since the first priesthood proposes to operate through mediators representing the people or a group of people, the collective, group, or non-individual condition is also highly accentuated, which, in turn, also accentuates a virtually inevitable dependence on the collectivity for the attempts of the relationship with God. And when the collectivity status comes to have a position of the representation of a group of people, such as the first priesthood, the things that are practiced under it start to become confused with the traditions, cultures, or legacies that are passed on to people and generations that come to be under the regency of this collectivity. Under collective aspects, several individuals begin to do many things by mere continuity or by their position of heritage or succession of those who preceded them. Thus, when God began to reveal the new covenant in Christ Jesus and that in this new covenant each person can approach the Lord individually and directly without the need of the collectivity, God not only announced a new and living individual way for the relationship with each human being, but he also proclaimed the path that makes it possible for a person to break with one's dependence or subjection to many collective aspects to which one was previously subjected. Therefore, it is to oppose the so sublime and singular freedom that life in Christ provides also concerning the dependence on the collectivity for the relationship with God that many raise proposals with the purpose of distorting the new covenant to maintain their traditions and cultures or with the goal of passing on their religious legacies so that others may continue the beliefs, works, and structures to which they dedicated themselves so much, even though the dedication to them was in vain. Here it also becomes highlighted how much walking by sight and not by faith is highly attractive to the natural man, because, to the natural eyes, the idea of the collectivity may be very comforting or give the feeling of security. Besides that, in the collectivity, people do not necessarily need to adjust or correct the desires of their hearts, for they may think that they can follow the momentum of the collectivity and of those who are ahead of it, as it is characteristic of the Old Covenant. Many appreciate being formally part of a group to indulge their desire for fame and glory, as we saw in the previous topic. However, many also appreciate being formally part of a group due to the feeling of security or acceptance that this gives them. Similarly, walking by sight and not by faith also appreciates traditions, cultures, or familiar things because most of its practices are already known to the soul. However, the newness of life in Christ and the continuous dependence on the Lord are aspects to be known spiritually and in a renewed way with each new day, a reason why the Lord Jesus warns us that. Luke 5:39. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. Faced with the new covenant proposal, Many people perceive the importance of it, but still do not receive it entirely willingly because this challenges them to leave the old that tastes better for them than the new or in which they think they are safer. For this reason, similar to other lusts for evil things, they seek to harmonize what seems attractive to them in the new covenant with what they appreciate in the old covenant, incurring by this, an attitude through which they also fall into the basic principles of the first priesthood, which corresponds to living by sight and not through faith in God. Therefore, it is inevitable that the characteristic of the first priesthood of trying to make the human will prevail over the will of God comes to propose an appreciation of traditions, cultures, human legacies, or familiar things above the will of the Lord or what God offers us in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Matthew 15:6, b. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Mark 7:8-9. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. Some aspects of traditions and cultures certainly do not compete with God's will, such as some aspects of cooking, the language of a nation, and others that a person receives as a legacy. Nevertheless, when something is opposed to an individual's personal relationship with God or when something seeks to take the positions and functions that belong exclusively to Christ, this represents a resistance of the natural man to the things of the Spirit, and which, therefore, should be rejected and left behind by the one who wants to walk the path of salvation and newness of life that the Lord offers him or her. The new covenant in Christ offers freedom from subjection to sin and also from subjection to the old covenant or the law of the first priesthood, or even similar to it, which also means a possibility of withdrawing from those things that are behind and advancing to things that are ahead. However much the things that are behind are recognized by many as almost untouchable traditions or cultures. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:8-10. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. As also commented on another point, since everyone who has tried the old wine prefers the old, not the new, we emphasize here that advancing to the life in Christ may also include a positioning that is initially not pleasant to the person who does it, because the new covenant offers a path that may hugely displease the motivations of the natural man. On the other hand, when a person chooses the new and living way of life that the Lord offers him or her, one will soon realize that it is a way of life that frees him or her from slavery to the very fleshly desires to which one was subjected before and from which one could not achieve liberation on his or her own. Thus, since the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary was also carried out to free people from traditions, cultures, and legacies that were passed on to them and that oppose the direct relationship with the Lord or that they created in opposition to God's will, no Christian has an obligation to continue the maintenance of any of these aspects that have been transferred to him or her by other generations or that others want him or her to continue to support. A Christian, in the first place, is called to live and walk according to God's will and not the will of one's fellow men, the collectivity in his or her surroundings, or the world. 1 Peter 1:17-21. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew 10, 32-33. Therefore whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. When we look closely at the Scriptures, we can see that there is no doubt that God wants Christians also to have fellowship among themselves and to benefit from the fruits of this fellowship. However, this does not mean that the collectivity should mediate or rule a person's life or that people, through this fellowship, are called to give continuity or support to the traditions and cultures taught to them in their context of life and that are contrary to the new covenant in Christ Jesus. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ.